Chapter 6. Catherine Waits and Watches. During supper, I tried to behave normally towards the children, but I was preoccupied. And after they had gone to bed, I went to Mrs. Groves's room. She was sitting in an armchair by the fire, but I could see that she wasn't reading the book in her hands. "We must try to stay calm and rational in spite of all this," I said quietly after closing the door. "We have to think what to do next and how to act for the best." Mrs. Groves looked very sad. "You're right," she said. "But it's all very painful for me. Miles and Flora are so young and..." Her eyes filled with tears. "I'm very unhappy too," I said. "But this is our only opportunity to save the children from the evil influence of those two ghosts, and we must use all our strength. I know, as I'm sure you do, that there will be other visits like the ones I've experienced, but I refuse to be defeated. I love the children too much to let this happen to them. If Quint comes again, and I'm sure he will, I'll try to stop him before he visits Miles." "Oh, Catherine," Mrs. Groves exclaimed, "you must be careful. Quint is evil and dangerous. Do you know what you're doing?" "Don't worry," I replied, trying to calm her. "I won't do anything stupid." To tell the truth, I was not afraid of the danger to myself. I was more afraid of my suspicions about the children. I was sure that the children were communicating with the dead, and it was an ordinary part of their lives. They didn't understand how unhealthy it was. The next day, when I was with the children again, their spontaneity and innocence almost made me forget these thoughts. "How could they lie and be possessed?" I thought. "They're so open and natural." Then I realised that they were so open and natural because they were used to seeing the ghosts. It was nothing extraordinary to them. I knew that they didn't want to talk about this secret friendship with me. That was why Flora had pretended not to see anybody by the lake. She didn't want to answer my questions. During the following days, I waited and watched. I spent a lot of time with Miles and Flora and was delighted with them as usual, even though I suspected that their innocence was not genuine. They, in turn, were particularly loving towards me. They often kissed me, bringing me books and reading to me. We played games and we read plays together. The children dressed up as wild animals or Romans, or characters from Shakespeare's plays. We lived in a happy cloud of music and private theatre. Miles was kind and sensitive towards his little sister. In fact, I thought it was very strange that the two children never fought and were always in harmony. Miles was very animated and lively, and he always wanted to be outside. "Look, I've brought you some flowers," he said one day when I thought he was in his room. "I went out for a walk, and I thought these would look pretty on your desk." At least twice a day he said, "Please come outside and play with us," or "Let's go and row on the lake together." But if I was tired and wanted to sit quietly, he accepted it easily and brought a book to read next to me. When that happened, however, I saw that it was difficult for him to concentrate, and after a few minutes, his eyes would move around the room or look out of the window, as if searching for something or somebody. It worried me that the summer was nearly finished and I hadn't spoken to him about his expulsion from school. For some reason I didn't understand, I wasn't trying to find a new school for him for September. I was too busy with the mysterious events at Bly to think about anything else, and I felt that I couldn't send Miles to any school until I had solved this mystery. What did the headmaster mean when he said Miles was a bad influence on the children? Was it connected to Quint? A new school won't be any better for Miles, I thought, because if his expulsion is connected with Quint, it will just happen again. Quint is not going to stop visiting Miles, I'm sure about that.